in Lviv in Ukraine, where Joseph Lindsley is. It's 3:21, and I hope it's been a quiet weekend. Joseph, how are you doing?
Hey, Bob. Good morning to you all in Chicago. It's been quiet in the skies, which is great. We had a few air alarms, but nothing has hit Lviv region. It's been very busy on the ground here. I mean, sometimes it feels like maybe 30% of this city is American now, which was great because so many people are coming to help. Hmm. And it's, so as I walk the streets and we're going from one meeting to the next, we see so many different groups of people. There's a group called Aerial Recovery from Nashville, Tennessee, and they're here to help get orphans and women and children out of disaster zones, you know, out of the most dangerous places. They also are start helping bring Ukrainians who have fled the country when it's time for them to go back to Kyiv. They're helping these people get back to their homes. And so that's just one of many different groups of these. And it's, you look at the cafes and maybe 20% of them seem to be Americans who and Brits and others who are here to help. So it's been quite a many meetings and very busy, but that's good. That's what we need here.
As the editor of Lviv Now, you're doing a lot of reporting, but you're also helping as much as you can. I know you have wanted to deliver some supplies, some much needed supplies to the area. Have you been able to do any of that yet?
Yes, and that's, we have our pretty new website, UkrainianFreedomNews.com, which is the new name of Lviv Lab. And we have, since the war has started, we've had many teams of people deliver items for soldiers, medicines for hospitals, all throughout the country. I've wanted to go myself so I can, I've been so focused on logistics here in Lviv and getting our newsroom in order. But now we are preparing this week to do a swing around the country. We have some amazing groups from United States and other places that have raised money that have, one of the most difficult things to get has been first aid kits. Once they're used once, you need more. And so we have a good pipeline of supplies. There's so many fantastic organizations like United Help Ukraine in Washington, D.C. They're focusing on the medical care. And so, yeah, and I hope in a few days, Bob, I am healing from my injuries. So I'll be able to hit the road. And one thing that we are watching, in the east, and I'm sure you might have heard about this, but the city of Severodonetsk, this is the Russia, in the same way that they were focusing on Mariupol, now Mariupol has fallen, and they're focused on this city of 100,000 people. It's the furthest east, eastern city that is still under Ukrainian control. And every minute or every hour, I'm looking at the map to see, to watch, the Russians are making small gains to surround this city. Yesterday, they blew up a bridge, and now there's only one bridge left as a way for people to get out of the city. And so this is going to be the next sort of disaster zone, and it's not looking good for this city.
Wow. I was just reading something about the number of people who are leaving the area there, and it's thousands, correct?
It's tough to get. For example, yesterday, many of the foreign volunteers were trying to rally together to get vehicles to drive. It's quite a long drive. I mean, it would take you almost 20 hours to get to Severodonetsk. But it turns out the people in the city don't want to go. I mean, the ones who evacuated a long time ago, mainly the women and children. But those who are there now, just like in Mariupol, they want to stay and fight. And so the volunteers said, well, there's no one to go pick up right now. Mm-hmm. It's a scary reality. I mentioned, I don't know if you remember during the Grammys when President Zelensky spoke, mm-hmm. and John Legend played music, and there was a Ukrainian poet named Luba Yakimchuk. Mm-hmm. And she read a poem during John Legend's performance. And she's from near that, in that region, not far from Severodonetsk. And she, on Facebook yesterday, very sort of surprising, she was criticizing President Zelensky. Because he said yesterday that victory would be sufficient to go back to the borders of Ukraine in February 24th, not 2014. And that means that all that area, the Donbass, would still remain under Russian control. And sort of in the first big public criticism I've seen of Zelensky was this poet who became famous at the Grammy Awards. And she said, Ukraine has to keep fighting back to the 2014 borders. She said, it's naive to think that if you feed Mordor, that they will, Mordor, reference to Tolkien, will stop eating you. And anyway, so I think we might see more developments on that sort of, you know, some criticism of the policies here. But and I know that's in the heart of a lot of Ukrainians, and it's something that's difficult. I think it is difficult to talk about here in Ukraine and what victory is. But that is, I think, one of the main topics on everyone's mind right now.
Joseph, it sounds like you agree with that point of view somewhat.
Whether or not I agree or not, I should try to leave out of it. I would say in Zelensky's, and he said these comments in an TV interview over the weekend, he explained why. He said, we need to do this in stages. And he said, the first stage, let's get back to where we were February 24th. And then, you know, he said, we want to save lives. We want peace. Mm-hmm. And then we'll figure out how do we get back to our 2014 borders. But her criticism, and what, especially in the Lviv region, you hear this criticism, they said that was the attitude of 2019. That was the attitude of 2021. That's how Ukraine got to the situation, because they were thinking they could negotiate with the Russians for 8 years, and now this horrible war is upon them. Mm-hmm. But I think I should try to leave my opinion out of it. It's a difficult topic, and yeah. And as we see now with like this intense fight on the eastern line, you know, how long is this going to go on? And so you can see, I understand what Zelensky is saying for sure.
By the way, as far as people fleeing the country, more than 6.5 million have left Ukraine since the Russian invasion. And Joseph, you mentioned your injuries. You got to make up a better story about what really happened to you there. Joseph cracked a rib because somebody had to give him the Heimlich because he was choking. So why don't you work on a more exciting story?
Well, I could tell other stories, but I must be accurate as a reporter.
Yes.
And my first mandate. And so I wish we could talk about other things, but I don't want that to become the story. But if it does, I mean, part of you see, I mean, there's, and I think why that happened to me, I mean, there's a tiredness here and an underlying stress on the whole society, and so it's not, you know, a lot of people are, I mean, people know how to chew their food, unlike me, but I'm saying people are tired, and you know, even as you walk the streets, you might hear the music and all that, but there's an underlying tiredness.
Sure.
And
we get it. Glad you can still have a laugh through all of this, and we look forward to our talk tomorrow.
Of course.
Stay safe, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob.
Talk to you tomorrow.